Friends, I'm turning to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13, and I read verses 45 and 46. Matthew, chapter 13, verses 45 and 46. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchantman seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Friends, we are thinking life is like trading. Life is like trading. And this is the example, the illustration, a parable that the Savior gives here. Yembra et se ye dija se naira Jesu Christo et se ewaha. Now, it's helpful, friends, to try and dwell a little on the very first statements there. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchantman. The kingdom of heaven, what is that? In the Gospel of Luke, sometimes it is spoken of as the kingdom of God. It's the same thing. What is this kingdom? Friends, we know that the whole world is God's. He owns everything. He made it. And he's the governor over that, the landlord of the universe. He only. And yet, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, is a special kind of rule. It is the rule of God in hearts. The rule of God in individual hearts. Individual hearts who have come to desire his government over him and have surrendered their hearts to him so that he is their personal Lord and they are king and they know him as their master and Lord also. Yankopon in the NSC, Yankopon abodi in Ianidia, Onoa no Bobibia, na Bibia a womb, Nimpa womb in a one in Sem. And so Yakayankopon Ahinia, Radius Christo Kamoa Simia, a Yasa Ahini strong corner, a Radi, a war, a war, a coma, Wabening chain, Rabashi, Radibe, Hini, a war so. Friends, this part is so important to us because, my dear friends, to become a Christian is to taste this government of God in your heart. If it hasn't happened, there is no grace in that heart. If that hasn't occurred, I am a stranger. I do not know God. I am not his. I will perish by and by. Se yakaso biya be Christo ni ne pa chene se wa besa sha se de irade di hini wa sa koni so e wona koma so se ensia yesa sa oni pano onim yankopon so boni di impair him cra da croa onim yankopon na obeyira na so yesu Christo ni church ni na no so kesi yankopon ni we ni no wona je so my dear friends, my concern this morning is to ask you whether you desire God's rule over you. Whether you really want him to be your governor and Lord, or you want to be your own master, running your life as you want it. You think yourself wiser. So you think, I want to do my things my own way. I want to run things as I want. Is that what you want? So you don't want God, the Almighty God, the all-wise God, to be your Lord and the master, the controller of the affairs of your life? Now, you're throwing away your life, and your life went in misery, my dear friends. There's only one way to safety is to have him rule over us. God to rule over our hearts. Friends, this is so important, and I'll be emphasizing that even more as we go on. And so this is how the Lord, how do we experience it? How do we enter it? How do we taste it? Your master, your work, I say no one. Anybody Jesus Christ come on some no, or the year no, I be boo, I be brain, because say or can one some straightforward, like many times, then tell us Esse radia se Cristo é no in forms of parables, and here it's one of the most beautiful ones as always. And listen to this one here, verse 45 there again. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had. A merchant, an illustration. The Lord is using an illustration, a parable. Radhi Yesu Christo say, said you be to me as such a thing and coupon, on you know, ye hini, ewo abre bosuno. Ye de better to obia, or ye jadini hum. A merchant. And in this sense, I want to talk about four things, just four things, and then we'll begin to close. The first thing you know about a merchant is that a merchant travels, or at least he seeks some valuable things to buy, isn't it? A merchant seeks a valuable thing, something he thinks is valuable. He goes round seeking it to buy. And so he goes to wherever he can get it. Wherever he thinks he can get it, he goes there to get this thing. Now, one of the most important things he must do is that he must know how to see that valuable thing. Because there will be counterfeits, is there not? There will be people who come and will seem to say that, well, this is a nice thing, you can buy this thing. And so the merchant must possess expertise or the know-how to be able to assess everything that is given to him to see whether it is really valuable. Not only whether it is valuable, but whether it is value for the kind of money they are asking for it. A merchant must know that. And so he must be skilled at least in that. And sometimes there are some items that he must even taste a little, just to see whether this is the proper flavor, this is the proper one he wants. Or he must carry along some instrument to really try to see whether the thing is proper. I remember, I don't know whether those people are still around, but when we were boys, there were these, they were always, they said that they were coming from Niger or so. I didn't know those days where they came from. But they came to houses. I don't know whether some of you remember or whether it wasn't true in other places. But at least in Cape Coast, these people will come around. They will be looking for old earrings and necklaces and things like that, wasn't it? And what surprises them that when you gave them a piece, well, they will pull out a smooth stone and they will rub it on it. And after rubbing, they'll pour a certain liquid upon it, and they'll be turning it and say, well, this is, I'm going to give you 2 cedis, or something like that. Well, what fascinates me is that who gave them the thing, you don't know what he's looking for. And so he decides how much he's going to give you. Whether he's cheating or not, he didn't know. And so I think that was a bit unfair. There should be a way you should also know whether he's treating you rightly or not. And so you must know, at least if you are the merchant, you must know whether you are buying the thing indeed or not. Because there are always those who are willing to cheat you, the merchant. Eradi Yesu Kristo sin abre bote sin yena ye dija. Ami itini asa ashe sin yanko pon e yansu e urano. It is said new dija, like I say new dija no. But it's say ukuno adia opeso kotono. Say papa na say nya papa. It's an say if you cry na so nunu say ya didn't taste the crate, said ye te ibiana ye dada de and say papa so to me muno. So when to me muno, you bit me sisino. Aye yes we are see ano. So we ye new did you be a peso sisil. Minim so say yes, you didn't know how say yeah, no peso system craft for dear. But could be a peso sisil. Because some time ago there was a time this was on the news, this was in the '90s, those days of our President Rollins. There was a container that came from overseas, and when they opened it, it was rubbish. Somebody has cheated the merchant. The container if he amanani by the beers in a year. So what if you are duped? What if somebody cheats you? My dear friend, the point is this. Do you really understand life? And we are always passionate about this. A young person sets out in life. He wants the best thing for himself. He wants the nice thing for himself. Does he really know what is really nice? What is really profitable? What if it is an appearance only? What if the nice thing he thinks he is getting and is pursuing is only an appearance? And eventually, it will turn out to be rubbish. Something that really doesn't satisfy. Something that really doesn't help by and by. What would you do? How would you know it? Now the Lord Jesus Christ is saying, the kingdom of God is like a merchant who is seeking goodly pearl. You can be duped, but, well, there is something you can truly find, you will mention very soon. So be sure to say what we bring on. And you know, Jesus, what you share the office of being for swam on the power. Be ready, boy, and cocoa said. And you man be bring coffee castle. A tree tree, a bed, this a son of Mohan Yeshi cry. Or in a holding in our castle, the air and say, bro, castle on your manners. No, they will say, the way if you cross and you go from your heart, hey, social channel. And the Niabri say, as you share Sadia Chrono, as a bit me have a sudden Sakai area, no, the sun and crown, and infasobia. But Yankopo, you know, Radius Christo Kai say, now know what you are seeking for, my dear friends. Here you are. You are welcome to the services. You are here. We are happy you are here. Do you know what you are seeking? What are you seeking? What do you desire? Are you here simply because Sundays is a day of going to church? And I dare not stay at home. I must go to church. Are you not seeking anything? Are you just here, dear friends? And to what you should be? What is it? Yes, I want to. Yes, I want to wait too. So what? But as the music is saying, say, I don't know what. What is it? Since I could see the old person, oh, sorry. No, my dear friends, they say, bro, sir. I don't know what. Because near, this is what everybody to say near. Wuchini, Eshe Bibia, a sombo, Bibia, a winia. Now, Mihunua say, what shall say, Sanidia, what you say? Now, make our choices, say, and say, look at what he said then. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking a goodly pearl. In merchants in those days, I said it in the first point I was going on. The second was they will normally go to wherever they can get it. A merchant, if he's a very serious business merchant person, well, he will go to anywhere he will get the item. Because he really wants to make sure he gets it, especially sometimes if the item is uncommon, he really wants to get it and be the one to have it in town. So he may perhaps call for high prices, things like that. So they would travel here and there, trying to get it from wherever. Women go to Burkina Faso to get tomatoes for us, isn't it? And we are told that in these days, they even have to get a military escort, because somewhere along the way, they are constantly assaulted. There are people who are traveling the deserts to get to Europe. You know these sad stories. And the kind of things they go through. They have the plan, they begin to go on. In fact, last month, if you listen to the news, there were these people, they were saying that in Morocco, when the tide is very low, in fact, you can't swim to the shores of Spain. Because it was so close, and so people wait for that time. So there's all these young persons waiting at the beaches. Now the problem was that at the European side, they didn't want these people to come. And yet, I'm swimming, and I just came to the beach. What will you do? And so these people were getting there with the police on the other side trying to stop them. And I remember they asked one man, they said that, well, Morocco is a fairly good place. Why do you want to go to Spain? He says, well, because when I look at the news, in Europe, you have human rights. And in my country, it has nothing. So I want to go. Now, there was one time a young man said, in fact, I would rather die trying swimming than really not to go at all. Rather than go back to his own country, he doesn't want to go back. He'd rather die in the seas than really not to go. Is that not sad? But you see their earnestness? You see their seriousness? Often the Lord Jesus Christ spoke about that. That people think matters of God are light matters. People think that to be a Christian, to come to the Lord and to enter into spiritual life, I can just treat it as a kind of a secondary matter. You know, I am very busy. I am very busy. When I have time, I'll give attention to this kind of matter. I am occupied with some business items there. When I have enough time, I'll consider this. Oh, dear friends, oh, the Lord Jesus Christ gives us a picture. You're like a merchant. Do you know what you are seeking and where to get it? And are you light on that? You are like a merchant. If you don't trade, you will grow poor. You can't feed your family. You will have nothing. You must go like our mothers. Oh, how we admire them. Well, they would go, they would travel anywhere. I remember the 1983, some of you remember, when there was hunger in Ghana. Oh, honor to mothers who were running up and down anywhere where they could get food to feed their children. Here is hunger. And some of the sad stories were the things that parents were willing to try. Some of you remember those days. Before you realize there will be a news item, they will say, oh, such a family have all died of some poison or something they took in. Everybody was hungry, and the mother was looking around for something, and she went to dig out something, and it looked like cassava because it has appearance of whiteness. And well, she came home, she tested it herself. Well, in a few minutes, she didn't die, gave it to every member of the family. And the one by one, they began to have diarrhea, and they died. We have news of this kind because, well, the mother was eager. You are like a business person. If you don't trade, you die, you fall into shame. Everything will collapse around you. But dear friend, are you eager? Please, if I can say that respectfully, or are you lazy? You don't care. Friends, that's the picture. You see how much people are willing to do to get the good thing they want? Friends, to become a Christian requires the greatest eagerness. Please, let me say something very clearly to you. I hope I say it as clearly as I can, because it is so important. If you knew anybody that takes anything in this world more serious than God, that person isn't a Christian, is a liar. You can't do that. If there's anybody, the same thing, my dear friends, if you say, I want to become a Christian, I want to be born again, I want to be a child of God, and you know, there's something you take far more seriously than being coming to God and having my sins forgiven and reconciled to Him. Dear friends, you are joking. You are not serious. I'm sorry. I'm saying this respectfully, believe me. You are not serious. You will never come to the Lord. You will never know His forgiveness of sins. Look at how much it cost Him. Look at how much it cost God to bring salvation to us. His own son went to the cross of Calvary. That was the only way out. He went to the cross of Calvary to bear the penalty and curse of sin. And you think you get that gift by playing it light? Oh, my dear friends, no. If there's anything you think is far more serious and important to you than that salvation the Lord brings, well, He doesn't give to those who treat it lightly. He doesn't. Because it's the most precious thing you could ever give to sinners who deserve nothing. And new di jenus ne ni abro peso ko be bia obenya sadie na obetimi abetono na ye se se we she bia os friend so e christoni and so be bi wo we are see mo ofan enyibre efen yankopon who said saunya no wadada no ho ontimi nye christoni enyampa erade enje no erade enye no foforo oda soa etimi bonimo na obe wujai santia kase so peso obe urade o se o me pesem be ye kristo ni me pesem ye ni amenso me hunya boni fefre we urade yesu kristo ho and so sa boni fefre boni fachere me beshu show urade o no bibi wo we are see mo e hunya me kra esin sa dia no kai se enye wo hunya sa fache no e san se emenya nkopon de sa boni fache no abreye no she de koste no on one me ban oba irade yesu kristo no be hunu amene na mu won to me e mbunu adiketo sa for so be to me I dream illustrations I hold on. Just imagine, my dear friends, that
Think of if you're a young person and you don't have much in your pockets, and think that you loved a friend or a parent to a son, whichever way, and you saved. Really, you really have to sweat and sometimes give up a meal or so to be able to purchase something that you thought was very important to that son or to that parent or whatever. And you've done all that, and it was really costly. You had to save for years, and you mastered the discipline and gotten the monies together. You got the thing so expensive, nobody thought with your income you could purchase such an expensive thing, but you thought that son or that parent or that friend really needed it, and so you got it to him. And then when you rubbed it nicely, you were so happy because you knew it would help the friend and it would bring him out of the troubles he was in. And then you brought this gift, and here you are with the gift in your hand, and you knocked at the door, and the friend opened his door, and you with a smile said that John or your son Elizabeth or your mother, mom or whatever, mom, this is the gift. 2 years ago you were talking about such as here you are, here is this. I say to get you this kind of thing with all the anxiety, thinking that your mother, your son, your friend will embrace it. Well, you looked at it, turned it here, and they said, so put it down there. Well, would you be offended? Oh, put it out there. I'm going to have a bath. When I'm done, I'll come and pick it. Come on. What do you mean? You know how much it cost me? Dear friends, I urge you. I urge you. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ said, the kingdom of God is only entered in by those who are earnest. Only those who are sincerely serious and have come to a point of realizing they want it far more than anything in this world. Omo person be ready dia esim bi bia e won wi asim eno mi be won saint ni chiradi Jesus Christ bae na omo di sa enyi di ni emi bre e be kon ni chen so mo ko hwehwe sa Boniface no di brain. My dear friends, so you see, we are like merchants, and we must be filled with eagerness. And we don't only, like the merchant still here. You know, the merchant, he thinks of the things he wants to sell, things he wants to get. He doesn't just sit down. Here, the merchant went on, going to search it. He didn't simply sit that way he was and say, oh, I wish I can have such a product to sell. And yet he knew that if he only traveled there, he could get that product. And he's still sitting here and saying, oh, I wish I can sell such and such a product. Well, nobody would think him a serious merchant, would he? And so it is. Well, we don't only desire it, we act upon our desire. We don't only desire it, we act upon that. Young Kwan not say, oh, me and one come here, Christoni. But I'm not asking him. I'm not trusting in the Savior. I'm not turning my heart to him, repenting of sin. I don't care. And family, me you want to be a Christian, but you be a family. My dear friend, as a Christian, say you would say near old Dijano. You don't only desire, you go seek him where the things may be found. Wokoshe said you'll be to me one saka. Now we be ready to see San Kasaho. No the amen. Now look at another thing that we can draw from this. This is again about the merchant, isn't it? Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, you see. So he is seeking the best of things he thought that he wanted to have for himself, or perhaps trade it also. Now, a merchant naturally also engages in an exchange, does he not? He goes and gets the item, and then he exchanges. In those days, he may exchange it with something else called a barter trade. I'm sure you know. Either he exchanges it with something else, or perhaps you have gold coins or silver coins to pay for that. There's an exchange always going on. And my dear friend, our lives are like that. You are always exchanging your years for something.
Oh, dear friends, think of it seriously. You are engaging in exchange. When you are praying, but as a sabre, be said in your DJ, no, or contribute your personal tonua, or just sergeant and no sweet tear cow, the bibima, I'm an insulted your shishano, and say, nay, and see a tear, and we radi in him, and he said, give it to me, Abaninche. We are engaging in exchange. And the concern is it worth it? Is it value for money, they say these days? Is it that the thing that I've gotten, is it a fair trade? Or am I being cheated? My dear friends, think of even our lives and the work that we do. Just think of it carefully. I say this kind of thing a number of times. Well, you work, you are given a pay at the end of the month. I don't know whether sometimes it strikes you that really it's not fair. It doesn't matter how much they pay you. Of course, unless your work, you don't do anything at all. And I don't know why. Well, in Ghana, there are a few government offices like that. The man goes there, sits behind his desk, reads newspapers, close. At the end of the month, he gets his pay. Well, perhaps he would think this is very fair. Imagine that you are working very seriously. Your work involves your full exertion. I always believe that no matter how much you are paid, it can never be fair. And if no one can pay you enough, because you see, you're giving it your life, you give it your years, all they give you is money. Years ago, there was a case in the UK. A certain girl had become paralyzed, stuck to a wheelchair as a result of the work she was doing. She was exposed to some harmful chemicals and she had become very paralyzed. And so the case went to court, obviously. And then it was the court decided that the young lady deserved a compensation. And at the time, the money they were giving her, the judge said that, this is what she said, that she knew that given the extent of harm done her, there is no money that can compensate her. And even though the court was giving her the very highest they've ever given in UK, they said that this is only a token. That's what she said. A token. Something to show that we acknowledge something wrong done you. We acknowledge that something has hurt you and you've lost something. My dear friends, we are always exchanging our lives for something. Is it worth it? I wish I can plead and plead with every young person. This is part of the reason why you don't have to just live for money. We need some money to live. We need some money to pay bills. The Lord will not allow us to be lazy and to try to get it from others, by all means. He wants us to, as much as we can, to be able to provide for ourselves and for all that depend upon us. All this is acceptable and proper, but you know, we must think higher than that. And it will be very sad if only living for money. That will be very sad. And you've not discovered any higher purpose in life. You've not discovered any nobler. Friends, you know, I sometimes say this with great pain, because in this nation, and it seems it is happening in many parts of the world, that spirit whereby people did things out of interest and out of a desire to help others and to relieve others and to bring solution to problems. All this seems to be going down, and especially in our country, what everybody is thinking about now is the money. And this is very sad. Now, surely the young man is starting off life, and he's a teacher, he's a nurse, something. He needs to be set up and have a family, so surely he has to be paid and paid. Well, we agree to that. But you see, is there not that nobler part where that young person or that elderly person begins to think that, yes, I need these monies to pay for all these bills. Oh, but the help I bring to people. Oh, by the relief I bring to people. I'm a human being, fellow human being.
pains, of this problem, of this need, of that challenge. And my work is to bring some measure of relief to them. I cannot solve all the problems in the world, but my own work brings me to be of some help to people in some small way. Everybody's dreaming about what he can get from the other person. This is very sad, my dear friends. This is so sad. Some of you may not know that Christianity was that faith that taught people that your interest in people came first. It's people you wanted. So that days gone by, if there were the Christian teachers, Christian nurses, Christian doctors, their first interest was what help they brought to people, far more than what they got. This is all dying. And I'm afraid part of it is because of the kind of churches that are rising now, where you are important as much, only based on how much you gave to people in terms of money. And so, what do you expect everybody else to be chasing after? Dear friends, there's a nobler purpose. Friends, I'm not telling you something that is too much. That's what the Bible teaches. There's something nobler and higher. Even take it at a level of bringing relief and aid to others. Yes, you're only a business person. You only sell gadgets. How does it bring relief? Yes, somebody needs it, isn't it? How would you be fair to the person? And let him have a fair price and things like those, you see. But, friends, these things are going away. But, my dear friends, what are you exchanging your life for? Only material gains? That would be very sad. Because then, one day you would have to stand before God. What did you do with your life? What did you do with your life? What did you do with your years? Will be the greatest question to answer. Friends, this is the greatest exchange, that we yield our lives to the Lord so that he may give us spiritual life, forgiveness, a new heart to be able to relate to God, to live as God wants us to live, to live as people who have God as our governor and as our Lord. That's the purpose of life, dear friends. Somebody won't exercise any of my misrewa. We need or jack a siba coin when you see Mr. Dibai. So we will say, mint nasi. Submit the milk coin. Exercise any of my dear friends. And say, no boy didn't do. Be any we as friends. You know, there's nothing in this world that's worth. You know, nations talk about it, but unfortunately, in our African world, even ordinarily, you don't see it. We say this with grief. Somebody was drawing my attention to this some time ago, that you know how some of these big countries, one person of their nationality is taken captive in another country. And they will send they call the SEAL team, isn't it? They are specialized soldiers to go and rescue that person. There's one time I was looking at one of that on YouTube. I think it happened in Nigeria or so. An American citizen was taken captive there. And they sent these helicopters operating from, I think, all the way from either Spain or so, in order to go in to rescue that one person. As I was reading something down there, somebody said that, so all this for one person, this is why I want to be an American, another person said. Well, my dear friends, we wish it is the same everywhere, but friend, the point is this, why do they do it? Because, you know, One life is far more valuable than anything. And come back home, as some was in Bidia, sadly, in our among us, of course, everywhere, not in Africa, but one life, but at least, my dear friends, if the whole world forgets that, God never forgets that. One life before Him is far more valuable than anything. Don't throw away your life merely for the sake of things. Please don't do it. It's not worth it. And to unquench them in your humanity. No, we if you say, I'm going to or no, I'm going be no, no, I'm going Asia. It's not worth it. And so, remember you are exchanging. Yet you have to say, oh, Danny, my brother, boy, I did before for all. What is that, my dear friends? What are you exchanging your years for? Dear friends, please answer. Answer this question for yourself. Dear, what are you exchanging your life for? I urge you to answer that question, because you would say, oh, but my dear friends, when God was responding to our case, there was an imbalance, and yet God did it. When the Savior came, He came as the Lord of glory. He came as the Son of God. He came the Lord who has everything, who didn't need anybody. He is God with His Father and the Holy Spirit. They had lived eternally through all eternity in wonderful communion among themselves. They didn't need us. They didn't need you and I. If God had turned His back on the world and said, this is a hopeless case. Only sin had filled us. I'm going to just leave it to itself. So it perish in itself. God would have been glorious still. Because He is full of glory. He doesn't need anybody to add to His glory or to take away from it. He is glorious in Himself. And yet He came. The Lord of glory came. This is a total mismatch. This is a total imbalance. That it is God who came to rescue us. And my dear friends, do you still want to exchange your life for something less? The Savior says, you give me that poor, wretched life, and I will give you spiritual life and communion with Him. You say, no, I will exchange it for something so pointless, so nothing. Are you doing that? Nyankopon ni ba na oba ni urade Yesu Kristo no oyin nyankopon na ohia yen oni neje ni hun kronkron no omote won edawo mu ansano bo wiase kra ohia hwe efie nche na subroji efie mboni sin nyankopon to betime jai me boni mu na boni ha ititi mu no abobon ya so sa kodu se wiase kra ni hobi o bomba e so be bi emebo omo oba e no ye nyankopon. No, they don't come. Ever since I'm born, I've fought. We say that I've been pressed out of my way. I've been pressed out of my way. Oh, my dear friends, so we are judging for Miss Rara. We need to do more. We say, sir, I'm sorry. We do want to do more in Asia. And this is what is happening. The kingdom of heaven is like that merchant. And let me touch on the last one and we close. Look at what the Savior said. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Last party, the old canon, as we did to what is touching on here, I've hinted that already. We are told that in almost in every business, any successful business, no matter how carefully you plan it, no matter whatever you do about that, those are out there, will put it this way, you need a little bit of luck But we don't call that luck. We call it God's mercy.
You know why? Because anything could have happened, and that would have been a failure. Anything could have happened. Please don't forget that. And think through it. Now, that business could have been a very strong business, now having a sure footing, but the predecessors may have experienced something of a luck to have brought it to that point. Otherwise, it may have collapsed somewhere along the way. We call it the mercy of God. And so somehow, as things are going on, there was some good situation that came up. An unexpected situation that came up. And the owners of that business took advantage of it at the time. And it gave them so much sure footing. And now the business now stands up to today, able to withstand all the difficulties that may come. There was a kind of a sudden, unexpected discovery. Some of you remember years ago, there was one of the TV stations that was doing, I forget the name they were calling, they were trying to train young footballers. You remember? And then they would send, if somebody did well, they would send him to Europe to play some of those, please go and have training with them and come back. And I remember they brought down a certain who was a commentator in the English Premier League or so, and he was supposed to speak to the boys. Please, I'm not a football fan that much, so if I'm speaking as if I know anything about football so much, please don't believe me. I think I only hear the two and threes that pass through the air. So. So anyway, they brought this man to speak to these aspiring footballers. And then he said, make sure you are disciplined. Make sure you are this. And he said all the nice things. And he said this. He said, after all this, you need a little bit of a luck. He said it. You could be the best footballer and nobody will see you. You think Ghana blacks us, all the best footballers we have in Ghana are those there. You go to some remote village there, there would have been somebody perhaps better than some of the topmost in the world, but who knows it? Who cares? Sometimes, oh, please forgive me, there may be a very good footballer, right at the early stages, he has an injury, and is finished. Well, another person, well, no injuries at all until you get to the topmost. You need something of mercy, the Lord's mercy, to have a kind of a discovery. The fisherman, maybe a particular season, there was a great bumper harvest. He goes and there's so much fish over a number of days. And then he has the capital now to have so much so that his business is now established. And so friends, it's an example here the Lord is giving. This merchant is going around looking for goodly pearl. And then suddenly, he goes to a place. And somebody comes to him and said, well, I have a pearl to sell. Well, give it to me. And then the pearl was given to him. And this man is a very skillful merchant man. He turns over the pearl. You know where you get pearls from? You get it from under sea. You know, most of the pearls we have around are made of paste. Very artificial. Because the most expensive ones are usually worn by queens. Very expensive. Because to get one, people have to dive. The scuba divers have to go down the sea and they get what they call oyster. And if you open it, not all the oyster will have it even. So some of them, whether they're out of maturity or not, I don't know. But you open up the oyster and you find one pearl there. So by the time you get enough to make a necklace, well, you know how much it would have cost. And so they were very precious in those days. And so this man has very good skill. He goes out there and he sees this pearl. He turns it and he turns it. And then he begins to make a mental calculation. If I want to buy this one pearl, I think all the pearls I've been buying, plus all the things I have, my furniture, my this, my that, if I put all that together, okay, in fact I may have to even sell my house. If I do all that, then I can buy this pearl. And the man says, yes, I'll go for it. That's the picture the Lord is giving. One pearl for everything you have,
Sir, are you wise? You will tell him. Wo peba ko pe ewo won sem. E se ko ton bi bi ansan won sa ko so beto. Jesus we funi de ewo. He knew what he was holding in his hand. And the Lord Jesus Christ was using that to picture himself. Or that gospel of the grace of God. That Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the one pearl of great price. Far valuable than anything imaginable. Eradi Yesu Kristo ni sa pearl noa. Oye bao kudye. And so said there is someone as someone simply be of it with you are Jehovah. And so are we willing, my dear friends? Look at what it cost. The man was willing to sell all he has. We may not be called to literally sell everything we have, but the Lord surely calls us not to value anything in our hearts and in our attitude more than the salvation, the Savior who came to die for us. Remember, I said that right at the beginning. We must come to a point where we say, I want the Savior more than anything. In order for me to become a Christian, even if I should lose anything, I don't care. I will become a Christian. I will know the Lord. I will have this contact with him, and our spiritual life, I'll be aware that he's my God, and he will be with me throughout all my life. He will never leave me nor forsake me. He will bear me through, answering many of my prayers, making me a better person, and giving me a true pleasure and joy that cannot be stolen by things or circumstances. Friends, Christ, that one precious pearl. Friends, do you see? Wukunwa, what do you say? Christo sundi enuani, enuani sedi ongofake kano. And then you say, Eko, as I say, what do you want to come in our brass? I radi on you. Oh, friends, I'm a kadada say. So, unto me, sedi, brass, I radi, we yano, as same be beer, we are same with dear. Woman in chain, then. Oh, friends, but think of him. On any we are seen in our gym, Kwanu. Now think of him. There's none like him. Only he saves. Only he can forgive your sins. Because only he died on the cross of Calvary. Only he has the power to change you. Only he is able to bring you to spiritual awareness, a sense that God is your Father. And to relate to him as your Father. Only he can give you understanding about life and its purpose and spiritual power to be able to live for him and to please him and to obey him and to live meaningfully and to taste of pure joy and contentment and peace. Only he gives. Friends, there is none like him. None. He is the fairest of 10,000. My dear friends, he is the pearl of the greatest price. Come to him. Be willing to exchange your life with him. Turn your life to him. Say, Lord, I don't want to rule my life anymore. This is the kingdom of God. I don't want to rule my life anymore. Forgive me for times when I have ruled my own life and been my own master. Now I turn over to thee. Forgive me, wash me. My trust is in the Lord Jesus Christ alone, who died to pay for my rebellion and my times of independence. He died for that. Forgive me and change me. I yield my life to you gladly. Come to be ruler and master. Take over everything. Rule me. I gladly submit to thee. Dear friends, would you do that? So we be ready to ask and say, on the radio, you see Christ over here. No, I will rule our prayer for so. Now, what I can say, what I say, what do I want? What do I say? Oh, my dear friends, then you would enter into the kingdom of heaven.
you would enter into spiritual life. Friends, let me close with the words there again. Just look at it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Friends, if you will come to the Savior now, it would have been, if you like, that lucky discovery. No, far more than lucky. It would have been the most precious, life-changing discovery to have come truly to Him. May that be the precious prize, the precious pearl you discover this morning. Sa pele sumwe sininya inchano pe ubi hunu. Awe radi Yesu Christ abe means me radi. Onu ouye emendi bonye for semi. Afima dani ma brebatu means same. Onu hurume donye mi fufro. Friends, that's what we invite you to do. Do that today. Don't delay, my dear friends. Don't keep exchanging your years for things that are pointless. Everything is pointless except the Lord Himself. Everything is pointless. May the Lord help us and bring us to Himself. Let's